248-DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always...
CBS News Brief. A woman who survived 2018's Parkland school shooting was a witness to yesterday's at Florida State University that left two men dead. Stephanie Horowitz tells CBS.
You looked out into that room and you knew there was an emergency. There was not anything there, no movement, dead silence, and laptops open, bags on the floor. I knew what that meant.
President Trump is calling Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen a fool and a grandstander after he met in El Salvador with Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the man mistakenly deported to prison there.
Our goal was very simple today, which was to check on the health and well-being of Kilmar.
Christian pilgrims in Jerusalem retraced Christ's final steps on his way to crucifixion this Good Friday. Crucifixion.
To be here in the Holy Land, even while the war is on, it is still an incredibly moving experience.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin State Assembly held a public hearing on a proposal that would exempt gun safes and other firearm safety devices from sales and use tax. The Republican-authored legislation has bipartisan support, including from Governor Tony Evers, who highlighted the idea behind the bill in his State of the State address earlier this year. The goal of the legislation is to make it easier and more affordable for Wisconsin residents to purchase safety measures for their firearms in an effort to cut down accidental gun deaths and suicides. What makes this year's NFL draft different from every other year? Lambeau Field. Lisa Hill reports.
Aaron Popke, Director of Public Affairs for the Green Bay Packers, said Green Bay traditions and history made Lambeau Field and the greater Green Bay area a great spot for the NFL Draft 2025.
I think just what Lambeau Field means to football fans, it's often spoken of as the Mecca, it's on a bucket list, those types of things. Very true. I think the NFL really liked the idea of incorporating Lambeau into this because they can lean into the history, the tradition. We often hear, if we're not someone's favorite team, we're their second favorite team.
To lean into those Lambeau-specific traditions, there will be a bike parade through the entire campus on the Saturday of the draft. Download the One Pass for schedules, tickets, and all the information you need to know about the NFL Draft 2025 activities in the Lambeau Field and Titletown area.
If you'd like to try a low-impact workout that gets you moving, the Lester Library of Rome has just the thing on Saturdays in April and May. You can learn belly dance fitness from 10 to 11 a.m. for free. This is open to all ages, mobility, or ability level. The program runs on Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m. through May 10th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers, isolated thunder showers possible today. Temperatures will hover in the mid to upper 50s. Today, with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy, 55. Easter Sunday's looking good, partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Take it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Got the band together on a Friday. We got good things lined up for you, everybody. We're going to wrap up our show with some good stories of the day, get an update from the United Way, and talk about all these Easter egg hunts in our area. We'll be covering that. We'll also get into these dueling surveys I have of the most popular Easter candies. We'll get into those and compare. We kick off the 9 o'clock hour with some entertainment news. And, of course, we are the home of Central Central Wisconsin News. Just had a new WFHR newsletter drop this week. If you haven't signed up for it already, you can still get it, of course. Go to WFHR.com. Sign up for it. Just takes a couple seconds. We appreciate you doing that, everybody. Nobody's covering this area like our team is, and we appreciate everybody sponsoring and supporting what we're doing around here. Also, Dolly Parton news. Nobody covers Dolly like we do. Dolly Parton just announced that she is releasing a new book called Star of the Show, My Life on Stage, that's sure to look good on your coffee table. The book will feature personal stories from Dolly, as well as 350 color photos and an 8-page gatefold listing her lifetime of performances.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
That is an awesome idea. I like that. The book will hit shelves on November 11th. You can pre-order it right now on Amazon. Or if you prefer listening to Dolly read it to you herself, an audiobook from Penguin Random House Audio will be published simultaneously as well. Now, this is not unnormal. I mean, most people do this and everything, have the audiobook released the day of their book. And authors like Stephen King and others have read their own books before and everything. That's not unnoteworthy. But it's I don't want to make light of it either, because it's not an easy process, one, writing the book and then doing the audio of the book, especially if you're Dolly Parton, who I don't know if people realize this about Dolly Parton enough. I wouldn't call her a perfectionist. But she has a very high standard for herself. You don't get this long in the game. You've never heard Dolly Parton live sing a note bad. Think about that, everybody. This woman's been performing for 5-6 decades. And name me the time you ever heard Dolly Parton live do a one bad note. Like, she is such a performer. And so for her to do the audiobook, I guarantee you there were multiple takes and it took a while. And at her age doing this stuff, I don't make light of those things. I think that's really, and it's any, I don't mean to take it this route, but I can't help myself. Every day we get with her is awesome. And I hope we get 100 more, but you don't know. And so we don't know if this audiobook is the last creative thing she does or not or what have you. I'm saying the same stuff I did when her rock album came out. You know, we don't, whether you like it or not, can't we just celebrate that this woman, who is one of the greatest entertainers any of us will ever know, and for the next 4 or 5 decades going forward, kids are going to talk about and make popular and have shirts of and all this. Let's just celebrate her. Let's just celebrate these things and really give a tip of the cowboy hat to her for doing this work. She doesn't have to do any of this.
Yeah,
Dolly don't need no money, anybody. She doesn't need any more fame.
I think it's really noteworthy, though, that she is narrating it, like you said. But because, yes, some authors do it, but it's pretty rare. I mean, I listen to a lot of books, and you know what, I'm driving, and and it's not common that the author is the narrator. You know, and an interesting thing is, it's not, that narration is not easy. I mean, I actually listened to a book once, and one of the characters was someone who narrates books. You know, like it was woven into the story.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting, the intricacy and the different voices and, you know, just all of those things. So yeah, I think this is cool. And she's stretching, you know, for Christmas I got a really cool Dolly Parton cookbook. And that has little, you know, stories and, you know, so it is kind of neat to see her just branching out in different ways and different product lines. But for her to narrate this herself, we, United Way, is part of the Dolly Parton Imagination Library program, and she does some audiobook, children's books, you know, readings as well. And it is always, there's just something about probably maybe just our generations, our parents, you know, like you hear that voice and it grabs your attention. So there's something awesome about that too.
Piggybacking off of that in our generation, another thing I love about this is the idea that it's a new book. And it's a new audiobook, which gets people to buy books and read books. And I mean, that's, it's helping that in literacy for adults or any of the above too. So there's that positive side effect of all of this as well. I'm looking forward to seeing it and reading. I know my dad wants to read it as well. He's gotten into bios a lot in the last like 5-10 years. Just loves reading biographies. So I told him about this, and I know he's going to be excited. Should be good. Again, the book will hit shelves November 11th, but you can already pre-order right now on Amazon if you like. This is another interesting story, Terry. Another 90s classic is making a comeback, Clueless. Alicia Silverstone is returning as Cher for a sequel series on Peacock. There aren't any plot details yet, and it's not known if she'll be joined by anyone else from the original cast. Paul Rudd, Donald Faison, Stacey Dash were also in it. The writer, director, and producer of the 1995 original are set to executive produce alongside Alicia. We'll see. You know, I don't know. I mean, this is just, you know, getting, this is just what they're doing now.
Yeah,
and everything.
It's just You know? Another one, right?
Yeah. Now, I would love to dismiss this like I did the Fresh Prince one, but that came out, and I had a number of friends and a number of people that really loved the Fresh Prince, but the original, really get into that show.
And then
show.
They jumped on this one.
Yeah. So what do I know? I mean, I think that we can bark about these things, and, oh, they're not coming up with new ideas, and, oh, they're just doing prequels and sequels and all of that. And there is truth to that. But there's also, I think, you got to be fair about it, too. For everything like that you say, there are a bunch of Clueless fans out there that just heard this news that are very excited. And that's why they're doing it. Not everything is created to be the next gigantic hit. Sometimes you're just looking to this one market and looking to hit that market. And there's nothing wrong with that. I actually admire that a little bit more than the trying to get every buck you can and every eyeball you can. And that doesn't work more times than not.
Well, and even just today, I mean, we talked a lot about nostalgia, right? Like, and I think this grabs people.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, I don't sit and watch it, but I think that there are plenty of people who are like looking for the next thing to binge watch. And if they had a connection to the first show, they're definitely checking it out at a minimum.
Anybody trying to sell anything right now in any industry, I don't care what you are doing, nostalgia is your number one go-to. People are, and it isn't just our age range. We're talking people in their early 20s that are just can't get enough of nostalgia right now and everything and anything nostalgic.
And even a few, well, I mean, it's been a few years now, but like when all of a sudden my kids are watching Full House and I'm like,
right,
yeah. What?
Yeah,
you know, and then they binge like, they watch like every season, and then Fuller House came out, but that was like a big thing. And I'm like, you guys do know that this is a show from like a long time ago, you know? So it's all right.
One of the things I enjoy, and every people are going to be different with their answers, but when I've talked to students about their love of old shows or something like that, part of what they enjoy is the language and the fashion of watching a lot of that. I don't know about your kids, and I don't know, every case is going to be different, but I find that interesting too. Like, I never thought about it, but when I was a kid watching like Good Times or What's Happening or some of those shows that were on before me or All in the Family or that, those were before I was born. But when I watched them as a kid, I don't know if I thought about that. I don't know if I thought about the fashion they were wearing or anything like that. I thought it was interesting. And this isn't the last one. We'll see. We're going to see plenty more reboots like this and everything. And we'll see where that goes. It'll go to your small screen or your big screen, and that's where we're going now. What is new on your small screen, big screen, and your local, coming up on your local theater stage? Today, premiering on Hulu, The Order, starring Jude Law. It's also got Ty Sheridan in it and Jurnee Smollett. So looks like there's been a lot of talk on that one. Jude Law doesn't usually pick bad scripts. He's a pretty darn good actor. He's very, very good. I was trying to say he's very good at choosing scripts. He's an extremely good actor. Also on Max, streaming premiere of Companion, a sci-fi thriller starring Sophie Thatcher and Jake Quaid. There is NCIS Sydney New tonight, Fire County, and SWAT. On NBC, Dave Chappelle hosts Saturday Night Live with Gorilla. As a musical guest, that's a repeat. American Idol is new with Songs of Faith. That's on Sunday, and that's smart on that. That's good. Well played by them. That's nicely done. And maybe the most important of all of this, and no, I'm not actually talking about The Simpsons for once. Although I see that it's not new this weekend. Darn it. Sunday, 7 o'clock on NBC, Tom Hanks narrates The Americas, a 10-part event that explores the wildlife and worlds of North and South America. I mentioned this now. Kev and I have talked about this a little bit on the air as he recommended this show. And I watched a bit of it with my folks and everything and have seen some of it on my own. And I got to tell you, this is one of the greatest documentaries I've ever seen in my life.
Huh?
It's so incredible. I know that most of us have watched a lot of documentaries and grew up on a lot of them and everything. The combination of the tech they have nowadays, these drones and the abilities, the cameras can be so tiny and they can leave them in such different spots that you would never imagine. I didn't know that they had bears in the Everglades, Terry. I didn't know there were pink snakes. I've never seen an eagle do some of the moves that I've seen an eagle do in this series.
Oh, that's cool. So it's like you're there.
All of that, and you have by far and away, I don't know, to me, overall the greatest performer, actor of our generation narrating it. And Tom Hanks, like, we talk about Morgan Freeman, we talk about a lot of great narrators, James Earl Jones and all that. We do not talk about Tom Hanks, the voice actor, nearly enough. He's too good at this.
Yeah, he is good.
They give you suspense with this, like, and everything, to the point where I'm, like, mad at him. I'm like, Tom, I don't want, don't do this to me. Don't, you're too good at this, Mr. Hanks. It's incredible. I'm not trying, I don't got any money in this or anything. I'm not trying to oversell it or anything like that. But if you get into documentaries like I do, and if you love exploring this country like I do, America is so darn beautiful and so dang cool. There's so much interesting things going on in this country that I know. I thought I knew. I thought I've done my homework. I know this. No, I don't know anything, man. I watched this documentary 5 minutes in. I'm like, oh my God, I never heard of that before. It's just amazing, incredible work that they did. And part of what is interesting about this is I appreciate what NBC is doing here. This was available streaming. I don't think it was on cable. They're putting it on cable this weekend.
It's like starting over, or yeah. This will be the first episode?
This will be the first episode, that's awesome. I think, available for everybody now. So I encourage people to check it out. And you don't have to take my word for it. Check it out. See what you think. Should be good. Episode 2 to The Last of Us is also new this weekend. And the second season premiere of The Rehearsal, starring Nathan Felder. A lot of people excited about that one. Looking at your big screen this weekend, not a ton of things going on. Sneaks, it's a animated movie starring Anthony Mackie and Chloe Bailey, Martin Lawrence, Loris Fishburne, a bunch of other voices in it. Looks really good. Chris Paul's in it, too. And also Sinners. I was actually just talking with Laura a little bit about this one. This is a new movie coming out. It's actually been talked about for a while now. Black Panther and Creed director Ryan Coogler, one of the best directors in the game, wrote this one. Michael B. Jordan, who is one of the bigger actors in the world, plays twin brothers in this one, set in the 1930s. It's got a little bit of a supernatural vibe to it. A lot of great actors in it. Haley Steinfeld is in it. Jack O'Connell, Delroy Lindo. If you're into that more of a little macabre kind of movie and everything, I think you might enjoy it. It looks really good. It looks quite interesting. And looking very good is the WRCT 25-26 season. They have got a beautiful season to kick off their next 51st season over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. If you're curious, you can go to their webpage, wrctheater.org, and take a look at it. It'll kick off in the fall with On Golden Pond. Ah, that's awesome. And the holiday show this year will be A Christmas Story.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Then in winter, Four Old Broads. No, that's the name of the play. It's the name of the... it'll wrap up on the main stage. Their spring show will be Father of the Bride.
It's a great lineup.
It's a really good one. It's a strong, strong lineup. And it's following a very strong season as they celebrated 50 years over at WRCT. Congratulations to them and everybody involved at WRCT over the years. That means everybody, every single person. And they're wrapping up strong, everybody. Noises Off, the main stage spring show, final one of the season. Going to be premiering May 1st, right around the corner. The team is hard at work at this one. Melissa Kay directing it, of course, and we've got some of our own around here in the play. We appreciate the work that they have been doing to entertain our community. A big shout out to them and the hard work they've been putting into this one. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org, and make plans to go ahead and see Noises Off. And, of course, maybe get your tickets for next season, too, while you're at it. And keep in mind while the main stage shows may be wrapping up, not only do we have Silver Foxes coming up in June, they've got a great show, a laughing show coming up, but of course Youth Theater is going to be going on throughout spring and summer, so get the kids ready for that. There are not many better things you can get them to do than theater. A kid in theater is a kid building confidence. A kid in theater is a kid learning how to work with others, to memorization, direction.
And even just exploring. You know, learning themselves.
And oh yeah, fun. It's a blast. I encourage you to get your kids involved in it. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll take a time out. We'll come back and we'll talk about a little more Easter stuff here and everything. We got some other fun things for you lined up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Heavy rain and rising groundwater can turn your basement into a disaster zone overnight.
A failing sump pump means water damage and expensive repairs.
Don't wait. Tri-City Services installs and services high-quality sump pumps to keep your home dry. Don't risk thousands in water damage. Call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840.
We're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
Date night is coming up. Where should we go that isn't the same old thing?
Hola, mi amore. Any thoughts for our next date night?
I found a hidden gem in Stratford called the Little Corner Bar and Grill.
Sounds good. Tell me more.
We could go Saturday and get a famous steak or lobster, a giant T-bone, and I know how much you love a good steak.
The Little Corner Bar and Grill, located next to Buccaneers on County Road M, Stratford.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Force is what you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com, and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers, isolated thundershowers possible today. Temperatures will hover in the mid to upper 50s today with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy, 55. Easter Sunday's looking good, partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
Boom, boom, acalacalaca, boom.
Welcome back, everybody.
You can still play this song on the radio?
I guess so. Oh. We're going to walk the dinosaur
here. Wow.
I can't believe this is out here.
I mean,
Oh, okay. Boy.
I can't get sunglasses at night, but you can have this.
Oh, it's coming. It's going to be there. We're making you wait a little bit. But yeah, it's going to be here. It'll be
a
here.
A little bit. It's like 10 years.
It's been a while. It has been a while. And it maybe wanted me to wait on this one, too. We've got some good stories of the day and some local Easter egg hunts and local events to talk about to wrap up our show. But we can't have that without a That Ain't Right story, Terry. You and I get together. We always got to have one of those. And just speaking for myself, this is a true That Ain't Right story. For those out there, maybe you might feel differently. Food and Wine did a big story on a new food mashup you didn't see coming. And the word is fun to say, but would you try one? A seafood place in Charleston, South Carolina is selling a new dessert called S'moysters. It's a mashup of oysters and s'mores.
Absolutely not.
It's an oyster on a half shell topped with Hershey's chocolate, crumbled graham crackers, and a tiny marshmallow. They torched the marshmallow to brown the top.
Okay, I'm getting a little bleh right now.
I'm going to show Terry a picture of this. No. No.
Would you eat that?
No. My God, no. But okay. To be fair, I'm not a fan of marshmallows or oysters.
I'm not a fan of oysters. The little smoked oysters, like I can handle those sometimes on a cracker, but like those. But okay, this is just me being naive. Don't you just like
you swallow just those?
You don't like chew them, right?
To be fair here, I shouldn't say that I don't like oysters. I've never had them. I don't think I'd like them. The texture and all that is the opposite of what I usually
weirded
would eat,
out because I've only tried them once.
But every movie I've ever seen, people just slurp.
You just go,
them.
Yeah. So yeah. But my point is, you add this stuff, and plus you, torch the marshmallow, mm-hmm. but you have to chew it. So that makes it even grosser.
Yeah.
You have to
Ugh. I didn't think about that. You're right.
I mean, ugh.
The restaurant is called Fleet Landing. The manager says he was trying to come up with something different and realized no one was doing dessert or oysters yet. There's a reason nobody was doing it. it's not to say that people hadn't tried maybe in human history. You're not the first person to think of this. I think it just, they learned right away.
It's no different than the average person's, hot dog and a peep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Like. Yes. His first idea was during Girl Scout cookie season, a thin mint oyster. He says it was okay, but he thinks smoysters are better. And this is another one of these things. Pizza Hut announced a limited run of their pizza caviar in New York City. So this was another thing that was done.
Okay, but.
I don't know.
No.
So I don't blame them for trying different things in the food industry.
Well, I mean, whatever, right? If they're offering it and no one's buying it, it's going to just fade off. You're not going to waste their inventory.
But at the same time, I don't know, I feel like that energy could have been better used.
I mean, I have some sensitive of adventure over food. Not a ton, but some. But I wouldn't even... consider even if it was a share. Well, I don't know how you'd share that, but sometimes you get one piece of cake or one slice of something and you just everybody takes a bite, you just kind of share it around your table. That I ooh.
No, would not even come near this.
Gross.
I don't even want it in the building. I don't even want it in the building. I'd not even know what I'm near it. Not for me, not my kind of thing, but to each your own. And if you would try it, go ahead and let us know, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. And keep in mind, we want to hear from you in a little bit when we get into the Easter candies after our news break here and everything. We're going to be talking more about that. But right now, I want to talk about a celebrity turkey. A wild turkey believed to be the first ever spotted in New York's Manhattan borough last year has returned to the island, much to the delight of concern of local residents, though. The turkey, dubbed Astoria, was spotted in Queens in April of 2024 and flew across the East River to Manhattan in May. She became a local and global celebrity among wildlife lovers, and birder David Barrett said she is believed to be the first wild turkey ever to visit Manhattan. It's kind of cool. The turkey eventually settled down in Roosevelt Island, where she became something of a local tourist attraction, but made her return to Midtown Manhattan on Sunday. Quote, "We're all hoping she goes back to Roosevelt Island as soon as possible because she has a great life there." Barrett, who runs a Manhattan Bird Alert account, told Patch, "It's a place where she has people who take care of her and provide for her." He said that Roosevelt Island residents look after her, and they even put up a turkey crossing sign.
I mean, any thoughts about the fact that she's lost her flock?
Yeah. That part of this and why she's traveling like this and everything. Quote, "We hope she realizes the mistake she made and flies back soon." Maybe she didn't make a mistake. Maybe she's doing it for a reason.
Turkeys are kind of on my list right now because a couple weeks ago when we had that last snow, they are literally roosting, sitting in my flowering crab tree, and it's kind of a small tree, so it's bending because they're picking all the berries off. Because I know they're foraging for food, but these are 30-pound turkeys, and I'm okay, this is not.
There's got to be a happy medium.
I'm sending the dog out, that I'm yelling outside trying to get rid of the darn things.
Do they make furniture for turkeys? Can you put a lazy boy out there?
How about just stay out of my yard?
Oh, that too.
They can go in the field in the back. How about just keep moving?
You got to give them an alternative of somewhere else to sit.
I did. Move on or...
Bet you did. he goes on to say in this article, Barrett and other bird fans are urging Manhattan residents and visitors to let this bird return home in her own time. The bird has already dodged multiple capture attempts by police and concerned residents. So this is one where I would follow the experts' advice.
She's a smart one. That's
all right. And nature finds a way. I'm imagining she's doing this, and if the experts are saying she just needs to fly back, let her just fly back.
And there is something, though, about seeing animals that you're not used to seeing.
Yes.
Right? I see turkeys literally every day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, meh. But when you talked before about, what did you talk about, a pink snake? Or something when you just see things that are out of your norm, it is neat, and it also reminds us of the wonder of of nature.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting things. I just actually saw a turkey yesterday on my way back from getting my hair cut, and I was going past the airport, and I've never had this happen. I've been around airports my whole life, but I was driving, and as I'm driving, one of the planes is leaving. So I actually, because there was nobody else on the road behind me or anything
you're
like
pacing
that.
Pacing it?
So I paced to go with the airplane. I wholeheartedly admit it. 48 fair. Years old, I did that. Yes, it was fun. It was awesome. It felt really good. We feel good going into break. We're going to do that. We'll come back and get into Easter candies, but maybe a little bit of debate, because I've got two dueling surveys to give different answers about the most popular Easter candies. We'll find out those answers when we get back after our news, sports, and partner break here at Mornings on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Town halls have been a point of contention. When Republicans have held them over the last few months, they're often met with boos and protesters. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
Representative Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District claims these aren't his constituents. He says they're paid agitators. The leader of congressional campaigns at the Republican Party has told GOP legislators to stop hosting them in the first place. There's even a Wisconsin nonprofit stepping in to give people a platform to demand town halls from their lawmakers. Democrat Mark Pocan held a town hall in Monroe Wednesday night. He says it's the largest crowd he's ever had. Hundreds of people were there. They were asking about the decisions of the Trump administration and demanding Democrats do more. Pocan said being in your district in person is a basic part of the job.
Not even the 101 of your job, like the basic level of your job is going to Washington and representing the values of your constituents and then explaining Washington back home. Those are the two things that every member should have to do. And if you don't have town halls, you're kind of missing out on that big part of getting the input from your constituents. Because I know a lot of people do telephone town halls. I did a few during COVID, but they're kind of BS.
Pocan says he's also been asked to speak at town halls in other states, but he's focusing on his district first.
This Saturday, you can learn to hunt for wild edibles at the Sandhill Wildlife Area. If you're wanting to get prepped for a summer of foraging, you can learn from expert botanist Jessica Prindeville on April 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There's a short classroom discussion to learn the basics, followed by a guided hike. You'll need to register, and there is a $5 registration fee. Find out more by visiting dnr.wisconsin.gov and search for Sandhill Wildlife Area. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks head to Indy. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs, game one. The Pacers host the Bucks tomorrow at noon. Damian Lillard back at practice. Just 4 weeks after being diagnosed with a blood clot in his right leg. How did he look? Head coach Doc Rivers.
You know, we didn't go a lot live today, but he was in practice throughout practice today. You know, and now we just got to see where he's at physically.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a 3-game series tonight against the A's at American Family Field. The NFL draft coming up next week in Green Bay. How's the Packers roster? Mark Murphy.
You know, it takes a while for young players, even really talented ones, to really figure out the NFL. And usually by their third, fourth year, they're really, you know, really understand the game. And I know Brian, I think, has made some comments about we need to start competing for championships. And, you know, we're the Green Bay Packers. We, you know, it's all about winning championships.
That's Packers president Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Saturday, April 19th at 10 a.m., the Grand Rapids Volunteer Fire Department Easter Egg Hunt at Mid-State Technical College, 532nd Street, North Wisconsin Rapids. Starts at 10 a.m. Get there early. The Easter Egg Hunt is sponsored by area merchants. Emergency vehicles will be on display from the Grand Rapids Fire Department, United Emergency Medical Response, Grand Rapids Police Department, and Wood County Sheriff's Department for ages 10 and under, weather permitting. Saturday, April 19th, Nakusa Easter Egg Hunts at 416 Crestview Lane. All egg hunts are free. The Easter Bunny, face painting, lunch $3 for a hot dog, chips, and a drink. One big prize per age group. Easter Egg Hunt Saturday, April 19th at 9 a.m. at Vesper Recreational Park. There will be prizes, hot chocolate and coffee, raffle baskets, and the Wood County Sheriff's Department and Vesper Volunteer Fire Department will also be in attendance. We will have a cash raffle available for purchase. Please, no dogs. Easter Egg Hunt Saturday, April 19th in Rudolph. The Village Easter Egg Hunt will be held in the Rudolph Village Park at 10 a.m. This event is sponsored by the Lions Club.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks to local businesses Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, you can join us 5 to 6 with your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. Covering local sports like no one else.
Clearing it out, and it is almost caught.
We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players and coaches, and you. 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers.
Get out of here!
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers, isolated thundershowers possible today. Temperatures will hover in the mid to upper 50s today with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy, 55. Easter Sunday's looking good, partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR. Terry and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great Friday out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Hey! Let's talk Easter candies right now. And a little bit of a debate, maybe. We want to hear from you. 715-424-2600. Of course, if you've got the Civic Media app, you got the Play at Home version of the morning show. You can go ahead and text in your answers to us. Want your favorite Easter candies? And you can give us your top three or something like that if you want. It could be hard to make one decision. But what I thought was interesting about this is these articles came out very consecutive of each other and everything. They're basically the most popular Easter candies. And then this other list, the most popular Easter candy of 2025. And I'm going to kind of compare these lists and take a look at them and see. This first one brought to us from Instacart. They released a list of those popular Easter candies on their platform. So taking a look at this one, Terry, we'll start from the top and go on down.
Right.
Number one, Reese's Peanut Butter Eggs.
I can see that.
Number two, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. And then Cadbury Chocolate Mini Eggs. So those are your top three. All right. Hershey's Milk Chocolate came in at number four. Cadbury Cream Eggs at number five. Number five, it seems a little low for you. Seems a little...
Well, I mean, should Reese's really get multiple? Does it matter what shape it is?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Now, the Reese's lovers will tell you the shape does do matter.
Sure, probably. Sour Patch Kids come in at number six. Lidt Milk Chocolate Bunnies at number seven. Starburst Jelly Beans at number eight.
Oh, I like those.
Those are really good. Oh, those are really good. Hershey's Milk Chocolate Candy Eggs at number nine. And at number 10, Kinder Chocolate Candy Eggs with the toy inside.
You know, I'm fine with all of those, honestly.
Yeah, all great ones. All great ones. Although Peeps missed the top 10 nationally, they're very popular in some areas of the county, particularly in Boston, Philly, and Washington, D.C. Those are your most popular Peep-centric areas, to this list.
I've never used Instacart.
Yeah. I don't know many people that have, to be honest. It's more of a big city thing, but...
People do use it around here, though, because I know somebody who actually, like, does it, you know, like, as a little side hustle, little extra spending money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people do use it, and it is available here. I've just never tried it.
It's a godsend for some single parents out there and stuff. Sure. And it's a really, like, valuable source for some, and a job opportunity for others as well. Other regional favorites include Justin's Peanut Butter Cups in San Fran, Whopper's Malted Milk Balls in Phoenix. Oh, I haven't thought about those in a long time. Those things would bust your mouth up if you didn't get a good bite out of them.
You know, though, the Easter ones are more egg-shaped.
Oh, that's right.
You know what I mean? Like, oblong or oval. So, to me, those are easier. The round Whoppers are rolling around in your mouth. You know, you're trying to bite through them.
Yes, yeah. Cadbury Milk Chocolate Bars in New York City, Cadbury Cream Eggs in Houston and Portland, Oregon. Jelly beans are the top last-minute buy. They spike in popularity the day before Easter.
Because that's all that's left.
Yeah, I guess so. Around 35% of Americans say jelly beans are one of their favorite Easter candies.
So we're just talking traditional jelly beans. Like, mm-hmm. not flavored, not Jelly yes. Belly, not Starburst. Yeah. Like, not just plain old Brock's jelly beans. I'm just pick out my colors.
Yeah.
Person.
Yeah.
So,
no, I'm with you. 100%. Yes.
And green is my favorite. Way.
Oh, green. Wow. Okay. That's a good one. So if we're talking traditional old school yes. jelly beans and everything,
I like black.
No. I like the orange and the red ones. I like, any color really. I don't know if I have a favorite now that I think about
it. See, I'm taking out the green ones and the white ones.
I like the old school ones where you can bite into them and then there's like another layer there. I love that about those. Those are good. And then we go to this next list. 35 states have Google looked at the top Easter candies we've been searching for in lead up to Easter Sunday. And this is interesting. 35 states have Googled Peeps more than any other Easter candy this month. 35, while on that Instacart list, they didn't even rank in the top 10. Gummy candies are next in with 5 states. No other type of candy got more than 2. And that doesn't mean we love Peeps, though, or even like them. Plenty of those may have been hate searches.
Well, or like you were just an hour ago where you're like, oh, yeah, let's see what flavors are out there.
Just curiosity. Yeah, I don't know about hate searches. That seems a little extreme.
Yeah, that seems a little much.
I think just curiosity. Icy, the old slushies with the polar bear. God, I love those.
My kids always get those at the movie theater.
Really? They sell them in movie theaters? I didn't notice that. I did not notice.
Yeah, Rogers Cinema has had it for quite a while.
Me actually want to go to the movies.
Yeah, and there's 2 flavors. So you pour your own. So you can mix.
Cool.
You know, it's just like at a convenience store. So
I don't know if they have those there, but Icy also just debuted Peeps flavored slushies last month.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, you might have tried.
I like a little more of a... like a tangy flavor. You know, like the cherry is a little more tart.
Yes.
More than... To me, I think a Peeps Icy would just be like...
Man.
Sugar.
We knew it was a good day if we went to Kmart and we were going home with an Icy. And Jill got the blueberry. I always got the cherry. Yep. If you do like Peeps, we're not saying you're wrong, but they're definitely not America's favorite Easter candy. right. You didn't need the article to tell you that, Jared. So a new survey from this week also found Peeps aren't our favorite, but can you guess what number one candy is? Well, it is Reese's Peanut Butter Eggs on this one. 26% of the vote they got. And that was also topped Instacart's most popular search item. So that is
it is a thing.
Favorite.
But you know what? They do. I'm not saying other candies don't advertise, but you can see lots of Reese's egg commercials if you're watching TV.
Oh, I'm so glad this came up. I wouldn't have thought of this otherwise. Speaking of advertisements and doing a good job of it, which Reese's has always done our whole lives and everything, a shout out to Cadbury and the amazing marketing that they have done for our whole lives.
Yeah,
totally. To the point where they don't really need to come up with new commercials. They're still bringing out the Cadbury tryout ads.
Yeah.
I look forward to it every year.
The bunny,
the lion.
Chicken. Yeah, all of them. They're awesome.
The only thing I would add to this is I would love to see them every year, like, bring in new animals. Different animals.
All of a sudden there's an elephant.
Yes, I want to see
penguin.
That.
Penguin.
Yeah, just keep, yes. Oh, a penguin. Yes, I've got to see a penguin. Yes. I love those ads. Great ads. Tip of the cap to Cadbury. They show up at number 3 on the list. Number 1, Reese's Peanut Butter Eggs. Number 2, Chocolate Easter Bunnies, your traditional. 13% of that one. Number 3, Cadbury Cream Eggs at number 13%. So tied with Easter Eggs Bunnies. And number 4, Jelly Beans with 12%. And number 5, Robin Eggs, 9%. Just Easter-themed Whoppers, basically.
Yeah, yep.
But to your point, what you were saying before about the shape of them and everything.
They're just easier to crunch down on.
Peeps ranked 6th with 7% of the vote, so 1 in 14 people still love them most.
I mean...
I think that as we touched on earlier with the nostalgia part of things, that's some of these candies as well. I would be curious to know how many of us, our favorite candy when we were a kid for Easter or any in general, is still our favorite candy as an adult. I don't know if mine is that I think about it.
But do you think about Halloween and think about Easter?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's a lot of overlaps on what the candies are.
Yeah.
But I think my favorites for each are different. You know what I mean? Yeah, my favorite for Halloween, if they offer that same thing at Easter, that's not my favorite Easter candy.
That's a really good point.
It's kind of funny. Goes back. Huh. I think it goes back to that whole nostalgia and memories and that kind of thing.
Looking at this state by state, the number one searched or the favorite Easter candy here in Wisconsin is Peeps. So Terry really voted heavy on that one.
I mean, I just sat there and clicked and clicked
over and over and over.
Click.
We want to hear from you.
Doing it right now.
What are your favorites? And how many adults out there do steal from their kids' Easter baskets? Like, take candy out of there.
I mean, who doesn't? Maybe not like on the first day. Mm-hmm. But if it's sat there for a day and you haven't eaten it yet, it's dibs.
I don't know if it can count as stealing, if considering where it came
sharing.
From. Sharing is the better way to put that. I want to correctly say that. Yeah.
If you have something that you really, really like that you're saving, you should probably conceal it somewhere.
So it's interesting how you put this, Terry, because my father, who is the biggest, like, he's got the longest rap sheet of taking his kids candy of anybody I know. And he did it with a smile, like always. Like, you never got mad at him for it. He was so good at it. With him, he would wait a day with Easter candy. Now, Halloween was a whole different story.
Well, yeah, because you probably had multiple of...
Yeah.
I don't know. For us, like, the quantity at Halloween was always greater.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah. But with Easter, he would wait. He would wait a little bit. The thing, and I think part of this was, though, because of the pride my father would take every year in hiding Easter baskets. Do they still do that with kids? Are they still hiding Easter baskets?
The Easter bunny did it at my house, I don't know.
So my dad, I should say this correctly. My father wasn't necessarily the director. The Easter Bunny, of course, is the director of this. My dad was merely helping with these things. He liked to. As an adult, he liked to be involved in Easter and everything. But the pride he would take in that, to the point where my sister almost cried one year that she couldn't find one.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes some hints are needed.
Yeah.
Right? When it gets too hard.
He learned that year. He learned. Yeah. Maybe help the kid out a little bit. Yeah. but whatever you're doing in celebrating, enjoy. Enjoy family. Enjoy Easter this weekend. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Easter hunts.
And Reese's Eggs.
And Reese's Eggs. And yes, enjoy your Reese's Eggs and all that. And we'll be talking about all the Easter hunts in our area when we come back, along with some other good stories of the day and an update from our United Way right here on The Mornings with WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
I need to pack all of this stuff into my vehicle. What's the best way to do it? Okay, we're going to play car Tetris. My former sister-in-law was the best.
It's amazing.
I would like to see her and my father go toe-to-toe.
Nice.
Because my dad, man, this is where my dad shines.
Competitive car packing. I love the idea. It's some cameras on that.
New sport.
It's on ESPN 15.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
We wrap up the week of Midday Magazine in part one with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston, and part two, the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers, isolated thundershowers possible today. Temperatures will hover in the mid to upper 50s today with wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy, 55. Easter Sunday's looking good, partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51. Won't you dare look back? Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said, ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me.
Welcome back, everybody. Wrapping up the morning show for the week. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to say a big thank you to our co-hosts, our guests, and every single listener out there, our sponsors. Thank you so much for doing this with us, everybody. We appreciate you hanging out with us and keeping us company. We've been doing this for a long time, and we're going to keep doing it for a long time. We'll be back next week, and of course, keep in mind, next Wednesday is our program realignment, where we will be 9 to 11. Encourage you to hang out with us then. It's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. Want to make time for some good stories of the day and to get in some a United Way update for everybody. But get into our schedule just a little bit for today. We wrap up the week of Midday Magazine from 4 to 5. Part 1, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston is going to be joining us. Always appreciate the open, interesting conversation we have with him. Looking forward to that one in a little bit. And then Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, is going to join us. Talk about some new exhibits they have going on over there and some other fun things coming up. Love every chance we get to talk to Steph and our great friends at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Let's dive in. Take a deep breath, Terry. Woo! Got a lot of these to do.
You should have made two copies. We could have tag teamed.
Oh, sure. Well, I could hand you this.
Oh, it's good.
I didn't want to make you work, though.
No, you're good.
Come in and hang out. And all of these are happening tomorrow, everybody. Keep that in mind. These are all taking place tomorrow, Saturday, April 19th. We kick off with Lake Arrowhead Easter Egg Hunt. Join the Easter Bunny for an Easter Egg Hunt on the Pines Driving Range. This event is open to both members and the public for children up to 12 years old. It starts at 10 a.m. sharp. In the event that there is snow or rain, the event will be moved indoors. Although Brittany was telling us it's going to be really nice weather.
Yeah, great day tomorrow.
Wisconsin Rapids Kiwanis Club's having their 97th annual Easter Egg Hunt. Congratulations to them.
That's cool. Awesome.
And they're doing this in the Lincoln High School staff parking lot on the north side, parallel to the expressway at 16th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Activities will start at 9 a.m. with pictures with the Easter Bunny and some carnival-style games from 9 to 10. And the egg hunt will start promptly at 10 a.m. and at the sound of an air horn. Gotta love that. It's a nice addition right there. That's cool. And then also going on at 10 a.m. at the Grand Rapids Volunteer Fire Department, they'll have an Easter egg hunt at Mid-State Tech over at 532nd Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. Starts at 10 a.m. Get there early. The Easter egg hunt is sponsored by area merchants. Emergency vehicles will be on display from Grand Rapids Fire Department, United Emergency Medical Response, Grand Rapids Police Department, and Wood County Sheriff's Department. This is for ages 10 and under. Weather is permitting. Head on over there. Say hi to everybody for us. That's a really cool one. And also, Nacusta Easter Egg Hunt is happening at 416 Crestview Lane. All egg hunts are free. Meet the Easter Bunny, face painting. Lunch is $3. You get a hot dog, chips, and a drink. One big prize per age group. You can check out more at fornacusa.org. That's fornacusa.org. Bookmark that webpage and support our great friends in Nacusa.
You
love
think
our friends over there.
Peep dogs or regular hot dogs?
Oh, it's a good question. They got age groups breaking off, and I love the way that they did this in Nacusa. They did a really good job with this one. 11:15, ages 0 through 3. 12:05, ages 7 through 9. 11:40, ages 4 to 6. And then everything will wrap up at 12:30 with the kids 10 to 12. Well done.
And just parents, no naps tomorrow. I mean, let's be real.
really. Yeah, especially with all the sugar that's
everybody's
going to
be sugared up.
Also going on tomorrow at 10 a.m., the Port Edwards Lions Club Easter Egg Hunt at Alexander Park. God, I love Alexander Park. 210 Second Street in Port Edwards. Check that one out, everybody. This will be at 10:15 a.m., their Easter Egg Hunt, immediately following the Lions Club Hunt at the park. On the Port Edwards United Methodist Church lawn at 411 Wisconsin River Drive, 5. This is another one happening. Special egg hunts for toddlers, candy-filled eggs, and golden egg prizes. If there is a rain, which it doesn't look like it, but if there is rain the following Saturday at the same time, they'll redo the hunt.
Oh, fun.
I love that they do that, that they have a setup just in case.
Well, and you kind of have to have a plan. I mean, you have to publicize your plan ahead of time, mm-hmm. because otherwise it does rain and you have no way to reach everyone yeah. who heard about it on the radio.
9 a.m. at Vesper Recreational Park, there will be prizes, hot chocolate and coffee, raffle baskets, and more. And the Wood County Sheriff's Department going to be at that one as well. Vesper Volunteer Fire Department will be there, also be in attendance. They'll have a cash raffle, tickets available for purchase. Please no dogs. It is sponsored by the great people over at the Vesper Recreational Committee. Love our friends in Vesper.
You know, I'm thinking about this. I've not ever thought about this, but you know, dogs shouldn't have chocolate, right? And so if there's the eggs, but can't you just see these dogs like,
oh my God, yeah.
Oh, I got to
yeah.
get that one. I got to get that one.
That is sneaky smart of them to say that. That really is. Well
I just never thought of it before, yeah. but yeah, good
well,
point.
Not to mention dogs, you know, little kids running around all over the place, like dogs are going to be still. Yeah, that's another good point. And our great friends over in Rudolph got one going on, and we wrap up there in Rudolph. Easter egg hunt happening tomorrow. The village Easter egg hunt will be held in Rudolph Village Park at 10 a.m. The event is sponsored by the Lions Club. Thank you to them. And all of these events, while we mentioned sponsors and different organizations that are a part of them, I guarantee you none of these events happen without volunteers and out the community coming together for them and doing this for the kids and for fellowship and everything. I hope adults have fun and enjoy this stuff too, of course. But the idea that all of us people come together to do all of this, and really it's about kids. Tip of the hat, everybody. Tip of the hat.
Yeah, and it's a great time to consider. I always think about this, like our service clubs in the community are definitely aging. And I can say that I'm part of Rotary. You know, we are Rotary, Lions, Kiwanis, you know, all the groups that you're hearing mm-hmm. about talking, you know, doing these things, they need members. Yeah. So, you know, that's something to think about too. Like if you've got some time on your hands, you know, they're doing great things, especially kid focused, but they need more capacity.
We talk about this with a number of organizations like the Historic Point Boss and some of those, and how dire it is that we get young blood in there. Yeah. It's a great point, Terry. A couple of other things I wanted to mention. Our Winter's Farmers Market is going on still over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, 9 to 1. You can check out the vendors if you look at their Facebook page. That's taking place again, 9 to 1, over at 310 First Avenue South, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Buying local, supporting local. It's so evident with our farmers markets. I encourage you to attend and check those out. And love this event. A gigantic shout out and thank you to McMillan Library here in Rapids. They've got a community clothing bank happening tomorrow from 2 to 5. If you don't know what this is, it's clothing, shoes, and etc. of all kinds for anyone in need of it. All items are donated by caring members of our community. It is very appreciated by this community and by McMillan doing things like this. Every human being deserves dignity. And that is a big part of what is happening there with that. And with even the great book giveaway, Terry, which we encourage people to donate books to. It's another part of these things where we get to combine things in our society of doing some good while also giving people a hand up, not a handout, and just, you know, helping them believe in themselves a little bit more.
Well, sometimes
helping them build confidence.
Just
or something.
Sharing information,
yes,
too. You know
yes.
what I mean? Just getting the word out about things. So the Community Clothing Bank, where I know it's the libraries, but is it at the library?
Yeah, okay. Right there in McMillan. 490 East Grand Avenue.
Just want to make sure it wasn't at a different location, because sure. I'm like, where are they going to put all these clothes in there?
Right. 2 to 5 again at McMillan tomorrow. Spread the word about this and all these events, everybody, just in case anybody doesn't hear them. And heck, spread the word about our show. Please help us advertise and everything. Remind everybody that when we're on the air. And remind everybody about the great things going on over at the United Way. Terry, wanted to wrap up there with you and some good stories. And just give everybody a quick update and some good stuff going on over there.
Yeah, we certainly do. We are taking new and gently used children's books. That's kind of the biggest thing. And that's for one more week. So through Friday, April 25th, those books can be dropped off at our office, 351 Oak Street here in Wisconsin Rapids, from 8:30 to 4, Monday through Friday. And we really just encourage that. And we're not asking you, I mean, of course, we will accept new books, but that's not, you know, necessarily what we're asking people of. We're asking you to think about, you know, books that your kids have already outgrown or that kind of thing that could be repurposed to another family. And two kids who, you know, maybe just don't have a big library of books at home. So that's certainly encouraged. Those will be given away during our Great Book Giveaway events that happen the week after school lets out. So it starts June 9th and runs for the whole week. We'll be in 9 different locations throughout our service area. People read the books. And then the other fun thing is kids get to just shop the tables themselves, right? So they can pick, you know, 2 or 3 favorite books.
So cool.
And then they are theirs. And, you know, until, you know, and it's kind of fun. We've seen some books come back around now. People, you know, they might have taken them at an event, but then, you know, now their child has outgrown those and they still come. And so we've been, you know, kind of like a book swap almost, mm-hmm. right? So that's really awesome too. So that is, you know, kind of the big thing that we have going right now. Behind the scenes stuff, next week we have funding presentations for our 2026 funding. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're getting all of that lined up because, you know, it's almost campaign time again.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll be out raising funds to make sure that the 30 programs that we help to support continue to have what they need in the community.
Good luck with that next week. I hope that goes well
and
everything, and we greatly appreciate you and the team and everything you guys put into this community and this area so much. Whether it's Wood or Adams County we're talking about, the United Way's presence is felt and appreciated. And I hope it goes well.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward
thanks.
To hearing more about it. Touch on some world good stories. Oh, sorry, real quick. UWSWAC.org. Be sure to bookmark that webpage. Go there for all the information Terry and I have touched on and plenty more that's going on over there. And follow them on social media. Be sure to share their posts on your page, especially Facebook. It's helped them build that algorithm back up and everything. We appreciate you doing that. A group of 40 house painters helped out a woman near Vancouver who's fighting cancer. They showed up at her house last Friday and repainted the whole thing for free. It's part of a charity effort that trains new workers and helps people out at the same time.
That is really awesome. Okay, here's what I'm trying to get my head around. How can 40 people be painting one house at the same time?
Yeah.
That must be a big house.
It's like one guy does one swipe, I mean, and another guy comes over to the
floor. Well, I'm sure it helps. Somebody's mixing paint, somebody's doing this.
Sure,
but, you know,
sure.
It just sounds like I'm like, holy cow.
I don't blame you for thinking that. My brain went there, too, a little bit. I have a construction background. I admit that. And I admit that, too, because I imagine some people could be like, this is the most boring thing ever. But I came across a while ago on YouTube these videos that I have to show my dad. There's a lawn service agency that goes around looking for places that just overwhelmed, you know, with their front yard and the plants and all this stuff. And they'll go there and knock on the door and be like, hey, we'll clean this for free. We'll do it for free. And then they show this time lapse of it and everything being done.
Yeah.
Oh, I love those videos. Yeah. I can't get enough of them.
Any of those time lapses. When you see something go from disrepair
to
it is cool.
Shout out to all those organizations and all of you out there. Terry, great show today. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Be good to each other.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is calling Maryland's Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen a fool after he met the man mistakenly deported to Central America. CBS's Scott McFarland.
You see Abrego Garcia not in the prison garb of that terror prison in El Salvador, but with a shirt and a Kansas City Chiefs ball cap.
We're learning more about the suspected gunman in yesterday's shooting at Florida State University that killed 2 men. CBS's Anna Schechter.
We have seen overnight some reports that other FSU students were upset by some of his conspiracy theories, that sort of thing, discussions in class.
Vice President Vance visiting Rome this Good Friday, where he's weighed in on negotiations on a truce in Ukraine.
I won't prejudge them, but we do feel optimistic that we can hopefully bring this war, this very brutal war, to a close.
Secretary of State Rubio says if there's no resolution within days, President Trump will likely move on. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.